You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bache, host of The Entrepreneurs. Jamie Cook is the CEO and founder of Hexar, a London-based company behind what may be the safest bicycle helmet ever created. For decades, there has been almost no innovation in foam cycling helmets, beyond them becoming lighter and more aerodynamic. But when Jamie's professor at University College London, the leading materials scientist Mark Medovnik, challenged him to improve a product in the real world, he thought about the bicycle helmet. During his studies in mechanical engineering, Jamie was also competing for Great Britain as a high-level rower, and was spending hours cycling between lectures and training sessions, where he saw quite a few crashes. In the lab, he started experimenting with a 3D-printed honeycomb structure, which is much more efficient at absorbing energy and impact than foam. After 5 years of research and testing at UCL and at Oxford, and more than 3,000 prototypes, Hexar's totally custom 3D-printed helmets began shipping to customers for the first time earlier this month. Hexar's app scans your head so they can make you a perfectly fitting helmet. The inner honeycomb structure is made from renewable raw materials produced from castor oil. And along with sustainable paper supplies used in packaging, the plan is to soon have the helmets printed at facilities as close as possible to customers to further cut down on the environmental impact. The helmet exceeds safety standards by over 40% and in numerous tests has outperformed every product on the market. It also has been developed to be light, aerodynamic, and with a structure that naturally pulls heat away from your head. The company, at its core, is a tech company poised for growth and future investment, with the question now being how to turn proven safety and performance into a desirable product and a profitable venture. Here's Jamie Cook now with the story of Hexar.
I started the project at UCL for a year, and at the time, 3D printing is a huge hype, and I was completely fascinated by 3D printing, so basically wanted to see if I could try and 3D print a bicycle helmet, because I was cycling around all the time. And after about a year of developing this sort of project to a point where actually we built test rigs, we had made helmets, they've sort of seemed to be better than what foam material was doing, which is inside every single type of helmet, I then realised, well, actually, wouldn't it be insane to carry on doing this? And at the time, I then got a place to go to Oxford, and I also wanted to row as well. So it's a perfect opportunity of trying to keep the academic going alongside this idea around 3D printing and head protection, whilst also trying to do the boat race, which would be pretty cool. Mm.
So talk to us about the idea for the actual helmet. You were seeing some accidents, and you thought you could sort of marry your academic career with something interesting, but also there'd been no advancements in helmet technology for quite some time. Is that right?
You're completely right. I mean, helmet design was sort of invented around sort of like 1950s and hasn't really changed. I mean, we sort of used initially leather helmets and then moved towards foam material. And foam material is a good material at absorbing energy, but it hasn't really changed. And that's because the sort of material science and manufacturing hasn't really evolved. And there's some amazing new technologies now that we've sort of been really lucky and fortunate to be the first ones to sort of put together, such as 3D printing and 3D scanning. But yeah, I mean, there's new technologies now, and combined with that, I was seeing stuff happening in London that wasn't very good. I saw people, often I'd cycle down Notting Hill, and I saw a bunch of accidents right at the bottom, and I just thought, surely we could make something better than a foam helmet.
So talk to me about the original idea and the science that you put into this, and how you thought a 3D printed structure would help solve that issue.
Mm. Well, the beautiful thing about 3D printing is you have a complete freedom to design, essentially. So I was fascinated by material science and structures, and after doing some initial research, I found that honeycomb structures had the sort of highest crush strength to weight ratio. So I was sort of hooked on this idea of trying to use honeycomb inside helmets. And the initial problem was, how the hell do you design a curved honeycomb structure inside a helmet? And so we sort of did that bit and designed it, and then 3D printed my first little curved honeycomb structure. Hmm. And I thought it was beautiful. And at that point, I was totally hooked.
So the look of this, it looks just like a piece of honeycomb, but it's scientifically, when you customize that to one person's head, talk to us a little bit about how that is a stronger structure and how that sort of might work in a crash to keep someone safe.
Sure. So everyone's head shapes, you know, has different sort of curvature associated to it. And the curvature we found at Oxford plays a really significant role in how effective the energy absorber is. So faux material was originally designed for flat surfaces, and obviously our head's not flat at all. And as a result, it's been proven that faux material in helmets is only about 30% efficient at absorbing energy. And this was published in a paper in 1992, which is pretty low. So using things like honeycomb structures and truss structures, they're termed stretch dominated type structures. When you impact them, they're initially quite strong and then they get softer and softer. And that sort of softening effect is called post-yield softening. And it's the bending and buckling behavior of that structure. And if you can understand that post-yield softening response and then map it to someone's head curvature, you could in theory create 100% efficient absorbing energy absorbing structures, which is amazing compared to the 30%. So that was the sort of fundamental research that was done at University of Oxford.
So walk us through how the changes in 3D printing and science have helped you along this way, because as you've said, you've created different prototypes and it's changed dramatically what your first prototype looked like until, you know, a consumer model that's out now.
Sure. I mean, we've made thousands and thousands of prototypes and we've been sort of consistently testing, and we will carry on testing because the material science is constantly evolving, which is amazing. But we started with an idea of, can we just create something that works? And then once we found out that it could work, we were then optimizing different types of materials and different, it's called relative density of structure. So the ratio between wall thickness and cell width, cell height. I mean, there's so many structural properties to look into. It's totally fascinating. And yeah, it took us really sort of 2-3 years to figure out the right type of material response combined with the right type of structural response to give you a helmet that has a better energy absorbing material.
Let's get into the brand that you've set up, because you've actually launched this as a company now. And the idea is someone could quite simply scan their own head or go in and have their head scanned, and then you would print them a helmet and send it to them. And then should something happen, maybe they get it fixed, maybe you get them another one. But walk us through the actual setting up of the company and what that looked like originally.
Sure. I mean, I've always thought about just doing one thing, one small step at a time. So really it started off with just an idea, can we create a 3D printed bicycle helmet? And at the time it was about £1,000 to make one helmet. So it was completely stupid from a commercial perspective. And then, you know, after thousands of baby steps, we're now at a point where we're developing really sort of a breakthrough, a disruptive technology. And the idea behind the technology is to improve the safety, but also the fit of helmets. And this is a problem that we see not only in bicycle helmets, but also in motorcycling, equestrian, alpine helmets, American football helmets. So what we do, as you suggested, is we scan your head, and from that we understand your head curvature, and then we automatically generate these structures that sit on your head shape. So they fit perfectly, but also these structures are mapped to your head shape, so they are more effective than normal foam material. And then we print them off on demand. So in terms of an eco-friendly response, we only ever make helmets when they're asked for. And combined with that, actually, the material is 100% biodegradable, which is brilliant as well.
And it's less wasteful because of the process as well, right? The 3D printing process?
Yeah, it's all on demand. So we try to make sure that our factories are as close to the customers as possible. And as I said, you know, you only even make the helmet when it's actually asked for, rather than making batches and shipping them around the world and doing assembly processes and things. So we're really trying to sort of, we're trying to set a new threshold in carbon footprint and then continually try to improve that using renewable electricity and things.
So talk to me about your partners. How many printing facilities do you have, and what do you envision the sort of rollout in the market to be like? How many markets will you move into?
Sure. So at the moment we have a factory in the UK for our UK customers, but then we also have one in Denmark for sort of continental Europe. And, you know, we're really keen to carry on creating these manufacturing bureaus or working with bureaus locally around the world. So we're really excited next year to be moving into the European market, but also into the US market. And we're really excited about switching from scanning on an iPad to just scanning on someone's smartphone, which means that anyone, anywhere, anytime can just do a head scan. So super accessible. And then, you know, we're really keen on moving into products beyond helmets, bicycle helmets, so into motorcycle helmets, equestrian, alpine. and really trying to become this new technology that everyone can access.
Well, that's really fascinating. I imagine in the feedback you've got from cyclists, a quite picky bunch, that they've wanted different things from the look and feel of this helmet. So how's that journey been? You've been testing it. How much has it changed in that sense?
Well, the really cool thing about 3D printing is we have this freedom to design. So the sort of brief we first came up with was that we wanted a helmet that would last a lot longer than a normal foam helmet, which means it has to be really durable. And so the shell is interchangeable, so you can replace the shell, you can replace the chin straps, you can replace the padding. But all of this means you can customize each one of those components. And as you said, cyclists are quite a picky bunch. So we hope that by creating a customizable helmet, we can actually appeal to vast amounts of different minority groups of cyclists. And we're really keen to sort of work with other brands as well and partner with other companies that has a similar sort of philosophy to what we're trying to do.
Apart from the development side, on the business side, how's that journey been? I imagine you've had to bring on some partners and investors. What has that looked like?
I mean, it's been actually a really interesting journey. I've learned a huge amount. I mean, a year and a half ago, I was a student. So a lot's happened in a year and a half. We've grown the team out now to nearly 10 people. We've brought on some brilliant investors, which is a combination of VC, but also some amazing angel investors. I mean, our first investor was Simon Gerrans, you know, pro cyclist. Mm-hmm. And to have that endorsement was phenomenal. So really excited to sort of to do him proud as part of our investors. And I think we're quite keen to sort of potentially bring on more investment pretty soon to try and scale it. But we're looking to just make sure we've got our right sort of business model with the product.
And what about the market? Because people may be skeptical about the price point. It's very expensive. So how do you square that?
Well, I mean, you know, it's really expensive to make one of these helmets. And unfortunately, right now, that's just the way it is, you know. So for us to make a margin, that's the price we have to sell at. But, you know, in time, things may change. And one would hope that 3D printing costs do reduce. And we're doing everything we can to make sure that we're optimizing our manufacturing and using the sort of latest cutting edge technologies. But look, I mean, our sort of philosophy, our brand values is to make sure that, you know, we've got helmets that deliver the best fit, the highest level of safety, and are durable and eco-friendly.
So, Jamie, you're so invested in the science part of this as well. You're working with the best materials you've already mentioned. But what in the future will that allow you to do? I'm sure the science will change. We'll talk about sustainability. This will probably only improve. And as far as an impact and sustainable company, this can only help if that science gets better. Does that make sense?
Definitely. I mean, I think there's three core reasons about why we're trying to be, well, how we're trying to be more sustainable. So the first one is the fact that we use 100% biomaterial. So actually our plastic is made from castor beans that's sourced sustainably in India, and rather than crude oil, which is what foam uses. And then secondly, we only ever make the helmets when they've been asked for. So, you know, there's very little inventory wastage. Each sort of helmet should fit and be the perfect helmet for that person. And then the third bit is the helmet should be much more durable. So the fact that the shell, the chin straps and the padding are all interchangeable, it should last a lot longer than a normal foam helmet. I think the combination of those three allows us to sort of continually make a product that is more sustainable.
And even though, as we've said, it's slightly more expensive, you may be replacing it less. So in
well,
the
exactly,
end.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. And I think, to be honest, like, you know, we're using materials that are used in aerospace and F1. These are the most expensive materials because they're the most ductile, high-performing polyamide materials you can get in 3D printing. But then also, it is your brain that you're trying to protect. And to make sure you've got a helmet that fits correctly, there are no pressure points and can absorb energy more effectively. And even the shell, you know, it's like an anti-rotation slip liner. You know, the shell we found is really effective on the oblique impacts. So the combination of this is going to make a product that should protect your life more than what a normal EPS foam would do. And I think that's worth an extra 50, 100 quid.
And it sounds like you could answer almost any question someone could throw at you about this helmet and the development.
Yeah. Yeah, go for it.
This is called the first custom-made 3D printed helmet in the world. This probably couldn't have existed before, but it's kind of surprising that we haven't had this advancement in helmet technology at the same time to this point.
Yeah, I mean, it was, to be honest, going back to Oxford, it was actually a relatively simple idea around energy absorption and curvature. And I think the reason why it hasn't been exploited in the way that we're trying to do is because there's a lot of new technologies, and you know, the incumbents are generally pretty scared to try out new technologies because there's always the opportunity of it, or the option of it failing. So, but we've, you know, we're betting the whole company on 3D printing. We're betting the whole company on 3D scanning, and this is what we're doing. And we're, you know, sticking behind it, and we're investing everything, every penny we've got, into making sure we're making the best possible product around these technologies.
Jamie Cook is CEO and founder of Hexar. Thank you to our production team here at Midori House. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.